Agenda item number five, Mr. Charles Allen. Good morning, Mr. Madden.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. Members of the commission, beautiful day. Mr. Charles Allen requests authorization to construct a 450-square-foot deck addition, an 80-foot-long by 5-foot-wide tending pier, and relocate an existing boat lift on an existing 70-foot-long private non-commercial pier at his new home adjacent to property situated along Lower Machota Creek at 2030 South Tidwells Road in Westmoreland County. The pier is protested by the Oyster Ground leaseholder, who happens to be the neighbor, and one other property owner. Here's an establishing shot. I'm sorry it's a little bit light, but here we are. This is the Lower Machota Creek. The Potomac River runs out in this direction. The county seat is to the left of the picture, probably about 10 miles. This is an overhead shot, a recent one, is showing the Mr. Allen, the applicant's property, and each of the two protestants. Mr. Allen is the owner of a 44.5-foot-long Coast Guard documented powerboat, the Mai Tai. According to the applicant, the powerboat draws 5.5 feet of water at the stern when fully loaded. He currently moors the vessel at a marina on Coles Point. In order to bring the vessel to his new home, Mr. Allen is requesting that he be allowed to construct a 450-square-foot L-head, an 80-foot-long tending pier that's 5 feet wide, an open-pile private non-commercial structure, and drive four freestanding mooring piles. This will enable him to moor the boat such that the bow is clear of the creek bottom and the props have 1.5 feet of clearance above the creek floor at low tide. The most recent pier revision, of which there were a number, will also result in Mr. Allen having to relocate his currently uncovered boat lift. He has a small runabout, and I'll point that out in a minute. He'll need to move that lift to another location. This is the original drawing. This is the drawing that we received on November 28, 2016, and I highlighted the existing pier because the original proposal was for it to go right straight out in front of his pier. The pier is addition. The original and any subsequent revision is protested by Ms. Robin Wicker, the downstream property owner and Oyster Ground leaseholder. A great deal of this structure is over Ms. Wicker's oyster lease. The oyster lease, which you'll see in just a moment, comes very close to this existing pier. We notified Ms. Wicker on January 30th, 2017, during our public interest review for the new members. If a pier is over 100 feet long, we need to consult with the Oyster Ground, and we identify that there's oyster leases in the area. We need to liaise with the Oyster Ground leaseholder and ask for their consent or their input. And this is what precipitates. She opposed the project from the very beginning. In her response dated February 10th, 2017, Ms. Wicker indicated that her neighbor's proposed pier was too large and would cover, quote, good oyster bottom, that she claimed to have worked and shelled. She also felt the proposed pier extension would represent a financial hardship. Staff requested at that time that Ms. Wicker provide the evidence that the ground was productive in the area immediately adjacent to the proposed addition. And we also at that time requested that Mr. Allen stake the alignment that you see presently on the screen. We received the information, the data from Ms. Wicker that is available, and it showed that, yes, the entirety of her lease was productive. We then went out there because she objected to it. One of the things that we need to do is we need to demonstrate that the area is suitable for oyster propagation in the area where the pier is going to go in. So I went out with Alan Abbott, and we probed it. We went out there. Well, we had Mr. Allen stake off where it was. We went out there, and we used a rebar rod. We found out that, yes, it was shelled. There's shell there. And scattered out throughout that area, and we also noted that there was shell down there. It was good hard bottom. However, I should point out that Ms. Wicker was there, Robin Wicker was there, and I was there with Mr. Allen Abbott, myself. At that time, Ms. Wicker said, you know, there might be less productive bottom in an area, some other spot, which is further upstream. So immediately after that, I mentioned here in the issues here that Ms. Wicker offered that an area immediately upstream of Mr. Allen's existing pier might be less suitable. And we found out later that there was better spot for the pier. But here's the lease. As you can see, all this yellow is Ms. Wicker's lease. Then Mr. Allen got to work changing it with input from the oyster ground leaseholder and the adjacent property owner. He came up with this plan. The original plan came out here, sort of in this attitude. Now, with Ms. Wicker's input, it was changed to this location right here. We then contacted Ms. Wicker. Ms. Wicker said she still had issues with it. On April 13th, we forwarded a copy of the revised drawings to her. She said by letter on June 19th that she was still objecting, thought the pier was too big. We then went out and probed it again. Alan and I did it again. This time the results were markedly different. This is all mud bottom. We extended all the way along this alignment, all the way through this area right here. It's all mud bottom. So that changes the complexion of the project dramatically. So this area is not suitable for the propagation of oysters. While this section right here is over Ms. Wicker's lease, it's rotten bottom. We are still required to limit the impact. The code requires that we still limit the impacts to the greatest extent possible. So it's at this point that I mentioned to Mr. Allen that we got to take those lifts off. Oh, I do. I should show you this before we go much further. Allen Abbott took the liberty of superimposing the revised alignment onto the Wicker lease. And as you can see, maybe 70 feet of it or so goes over Ms. Wicker's lease. The rest of it is inboard of it. This is the lease boundary right here. Here's the existing pier, and here's the proposed arm that extends out. There's the final plan. When I first opened up, I mentioned that he's going to relocate the lift. His 8,000-pound lift will be relocated to this portion of the pier, right by the existing pier, and the 450-square-foot L-head, and then the tending pier extending 80 feet out. There will only be four mooring piles here. Here's what the pier looks like right now. Keep in mind that this is going to be rearranged. It's going to move over to here. And the new piece is going to extend around in this direction. Dr. Karen Wicker is Robin Wicker's sister-in-law. And during the course of the investigation here, Dr. Wicker corroborated the data that we received and the claims of working the bottom. Their sister-in-law and her brother, now deceased, worked. And she also had concerns about the potential shading of the area beneath the footprint of the, beneath the footprint of the proposed pier. Now I'm looking downstream. I'm looking at Robin Wicker's Pier. It's approximately 213 feet downstream. Now I turn, and this is a little more, a little closer view of it. Robin, we floated by later, and this is Ms. Wicker's Pier. It's a 130-foot L-head pier. It sits in minus 8 feet of water. Now we're looking to the upstream. Dr. Karen Wicker's Pier, located 771 feet upstream. Here's the location where the new pier addition is going to go in. Here's Dr. Karen Wicker's Pier at 142 feet. That sits at the end at mean low water and minus 8.5 feet. There's each of the parties. During a subsequent site visit, you probably gathered from the images that I've showed, during a subsequent site visit, staff measured a mean low water depth of minus 8 foot at the terminus of Ms. Robin Wicker's Pier, and a mean low water depth of minus 8.5 feet at Dr. Karen Wicker's Pier. The final correspondence that we received from Ms. Robin Wicker stated that she still considered the pier to be too big. One thing that I might point out at this time is that we overlaid the VIMS submerged aquatic vegetation layer and find that there are no submerged aquatic vegetation noted along the shoreline, either historic or present. No other state agency has protested the project. Here again, Dr. Wicker's pier is off the scale, but here's a final overhead. In the form of a summary and recommendation, staff has worked diligently with Mr. Allen to reduce the impacts on Ms. Wicker's leased ground. The applicant's preferred option would have been the first one, extending straight out from the existing pier with the downstream L-head platform and moorings. This would have been enabled him to ingress and egress to his pier the safest and most convenient way. However, that wasn't to be because it was over good ground, and he did change it. To minimize the impacts of the encroachment, Mr. Allen has taken steps to site the pier extension over unproductive ground, which we have verified, and limit the encroachment to a narrow 5-foot-wide finger pier and the minimum moorings needed to secure his large powerboat. In addition, both the protestants have piers that extend to deeper water than Mr. Allen's proposed extension. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by the protestants and after considering all of the facts contained in Section 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as revised July 26, 2017. That's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
I see in one of the drawings, it looks like at one point there was a boat lift proposed for the new wet slip area.
Yes, sir.
And it sounded like you said that that was removed to minimize any impacts. I'm just curious what impacts a boat lift has or why that would be removed.
That's a good question, sir. We take a very, very conservative view of the reduced impacts. We're reducing the impacts to the greatest extent possible, which would be just attending pier and mooring piles. We as staff consider even a boat lift to be an encroachment that doesn't necessarily have to be there. We're bringing it down to absolutely what needs just the minimum.
Okay.
It doesn't shade SAV, but it is an impact. And we also told him he got to get the other lift off for a small runabout, which would both have been on that 80-foot piece.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
When you look at this photo, you see these long piers on each end of the photo there, or each side of it. How does this proposed pier compare in square foot to those two long piers? Do you have any sense of that?
Square foot or length?
Length or square foot.
Well, they're equivalent. They're equivalent. But they're approximately the same length.
Okay.
Approximately the same length. But if I might add,
sure,
to me, the critical factor is that he only wants to go to 7 feet and everybody else is at 8.5, where depth is a big issue. And, in addition, they have L-heads at the end of their piers.
Uh-huh. Other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is the applicant present or represented, Mr. Allen? Would you please come forward, sir? Let me swear you in here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
I am Dave Bug with Rumsey and Bug in Irvington, Virginia, and
thank you,
I
Ms.
represent
Brad.
Mr. and Ms. Allen, who is seated back there, and it's a pleasure to be here today representing someone who hasn't done anything wrong and who has made an application that's recommended by staff. It's not my usual role here. But in any event, I just want to emphasize a couple things. I think it's a matter of fairness. These other two docks are longer. They go to deeper water. This project has been moved to accommodate every objection. There are no SAVs. There's no oyster ground. Yes, he would love to have his boat lift, but he can live with it the way staff has recommended. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my comments if there's opposition here. I'm not sure there is live opposition.
Are there questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Bug. It's a pleasure to see you here today on more favorable circumstances. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this proposed project? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter one way or another? All right. Seeing none, close the public hearing, and the matter is now before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
One, I'd like to commend the applicant for being flexible and trying to work through what I'm sure was a frustrating process. I'd be inclined to approve the application, but given that they've been so flexible and reworked the pier, I'd be inclined to approve it with the boat lifts that they originally wanted. So I'm curious other commissioners' thoughts, but that will be my motion.
It's a motion. I'll second it.
Well, it's a motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Zedron, yes. But let's get a little bit more input from the staff at this point. Mr. Tankard?
I see what Mr. Ballard's saying. The only thing that I might mention is that we've come into the meeting and the potential protestants believe that what we have before us is what staff has recommended. So I'd be a little bit reluctant to given that we've had this back and forth, as you mentioned, and working together, I think we'd be remiss in doing something different than what the parties have seemed to have come to conclusion on their own to agree on.
Mr. Watkinson.
I'll add to the confusion, but I do want to just point out that what we're dealing with here is a private pier, a riparian right by a property owner, and really there's several sections of code that touch on that. A section of code that exempts private piers from our jurisdiction unless it's on a private or on shellfish lease and it's over 100 feet long. So that's what gets us here. It has to get a permit. It's not exempt any longer. But then we have to look to the oyster code that allows for riparian right, the exercise of riparian rights to build a pier over a lease. And those are sections 1205 of the code, or 28.2, 1205 of the code, 28.2.618 of the code, and 28.2.630 of the code all relate to this matter. And you had asked Jeff about the notion of why did we not support the lifts out there on the pier, and we try to reduce the encroachment over the leases as much as possible. But in addition to that, based on conversations and work with our prior legal counsel of the AG's office when we've dealt with these issues, we've gotten information that suggests that really all we can permit over a lease is the pier itself, that that's all the code really authorizes a pier. And there's some question of whether or not when you start adding lifts to that, you get beyond what the riparian right has to be to get access to navigable water by the owner who wants to build the pier. And so we've tried to take those elements off of private piers so that we can accommodate what's authorized in the code for a riparian owner to build over a lease. So for that reason, the legal background and the various code sections we deal with, we try to limit piers of this nature just to the stem of the pier and the mooring pilings that have to be there to tie up the boat. And so that's sort of what's behind not recommending the lifts on a private lease, because the code guarantees the leaseholder the right to propagate and grow oysters out there. And by allowing riparian uses that aren't contemplated, sort of just to get access, that might go beyond what we can allow on a lease.
Does that clear it up, Mr. Zedrin?
I got 2 points. One, in reference to Mr. Tankard's, the way I understood the presentation was that the party still protests what was the staff recommendation as it is with the pier. That's number one. Number two, the protesters are not here. Number three, you know, we see these all the time. I mean, people have their own piers, but they don't want the other neighbor to have their pier. And we talk about fairness in here. And from what I heard staff talk about and everything, he's only going out to 7 feet of water. I mean, everybody else is at 8.5. He could go out to 8.5 feet of water. We've got a 40-something foot boat, but he didn't do that. So he's minimized the impact on the land. The other thing is we're not talking about an oyster productive piece of land here. I understand staff to say that it's all mud and there's no oysters on that. So we're not harming that leaseholder at all with that. And, so I think that the way it stands right now is the protesters still protest. So it's not that they've come to some kind of agreement as to how it should be. And I applaud the applicant here. I mean, he's gone out of his way to reshape this, redo it, and do everything in the world that he could to minimize any impact to these two protestants. And I kind of agree with Commissioner Ballard there that there's no reason to. That's a minimal impact for those lifts, and I think that's reasonable.
Mr. Ballard.
I agree with Mr. Zedrin and second the thought that if an agreement had been reached, I would fully be in favor of supporting that agreement and not changing it this location. But as it stands, there is no agreement, to my understanding. I can't say I fully understand what Mr. Watkinson just explained to us about the code, but what I would come back to is just my own logic as an oyster producer, that if that were my lease, I would rather them have a boat lift. That way I could actually access the area under there than having his boat sitting in the water all day. If the semantics or we're not changing too much code or doing something we can't, I'd still be in favor of supporting the boat lift.
Let me make a point here. The Wickers are not here. I don't know why. I don't think anyone knows why. But I wonder whether or not their calculation, if they decided that the staff recommendation for this project as presented without the boat lift was something that they could live with, if that calculation by them would have changed if they had known the boat lift was going to be added to this, and that they may have appeared and testified if that had been the case. I just note that for discussion purposes. Mr. Neal.
I would note that as a commission, we could decide that we want to accept the original application. And so, you know, the fact that they're not here, that's on them. I'm not going to try to second-guess their motivation for being here or not being here. So we have staff recommendation, but we follow staff recommendation. We modify staff recommendation. We disagree with staff recommendation routinely. And so... I'm not I'm not feeling compelled to this shape of pier or this thing just because the protestants aren't here. I mean, I've got their protestants. They don't want this pier.
Further discussion?
If
Ms. Buck.
If I can try and clarify, I think I know what Tony was talking about in terms of the code, and wave your arms frantically if I'm not in the right place, Tony. So for permits for private pier measuring 100 feet or more, the permit may reasonably prescribe the design and location of the pier for the sole purpose of minimizing the adverse impact of such oyster or clam on such oyster or clam grounds, or the harvesting or propagation of oysters or clams therefrom. The permit shall contain no other conditions or requirements. Is that so? To me, that seems like anything we add to this permit, anything we say in this permit, needs to be for the sole purpose of minimizing effect on the oyster or clam grounds. And we're not allowed to include any other conditions or requirements. So whether we can permit a boat lift or not permit a boat lift, that is where our thinking should be, is in terms of minimizing what will minimize impact on clam or oyster grounds that this is going through.
Well, there are other attorneys on the board here. We may have a second opinion.
Non-attorney.
Non-attorney, Mr. Neal.
Just from that logic, the minimization of the impact would be no pier.
So there, right.
there has to be some degree of impact allowed.
There is a degree of impact. What it's saying here is that any conditions or requirements added to the permit that would allow this pier need to be with the goal of minimizing the impact. So it's not saying there has to be no impact. It says if we're going to add a condition, it has to be towards minimizing the impact. I admit it's not particularly clear, but that's what it says.
Mr. Bauer?
The language I would question is a condition. That to me sounds like a term more on something that staff or this agency would impose on the pier, as opposed to a feature of the pier or something in the permit. A condition would be you have to go this way to avoid SAV or something like that, as opposed to a feature of the pier. Yeah, and I would further just say that I think even if you apply that to the boat lift, it still works, because as an oyster producer, I can say the boat's up in the air, we're allowing sunlight underneath it, which is going to produce algae, which is what oysters feed on. So I think we are acting in that spirit, that the boat lift would reduce impacts to the oyster lease rather than impact it further.
Mr. Zedra.
I agree with Commissioner Ballard. Number one, the pier was asked to be permitted with the lifts in it. Condition here would be, as we do in a lot of things, say, well, you have to build the pier between this month and that month, or you got to use this kind of riprap, or you got to use this or that or whatever. Those are conditions. They submitted the outline of the pier with the lifts on it, so I back that. And the way I heard the testimony was, look, we took, and, you know, Ms. Wicker objected to the pier in the original alignment because it was on productive oyster ground. Staff went down there, and she was right. And then they moved it to unproductive ground. That actually, my hearing was, it was mud. And so there is no impact to the oyster aspect of that lease. And that goes along with what counsel said here, is what impact is it to the lease? None. Because there, even though it's a lease, there, it's a non-productive piece of parcel under that. It's mud. So I agree with Commissioner Ballard.
All right. Let me see if Mr. Watkinson can further confuse the matter. Mr. Watkinson.
I'll be glad to. This is an issue that staff wrestles with constantly, and we've debated the ins and outs of this with legal counsel for years and how to administer this issue under the code. But I was reminded that 1203 of the code, which is the basic law that says what the commission has to require permits for and exempts certain activities, and this is where it exempts piers unless it's on a productive oyster ground. And when it exempts piers, it describes lifts. And so I'm reminded that the General Assembly, by putting that in 1203 of the code, knows what a lift is, that it's something different than a pier. And when you turn to 1205 and it talks about what is authorized on a lease, it talks about a pier on a lease, only a pier. It doesn't talk about lifts on a pier. So there are some legal nuances here, no doubt. It's just that when the General Assembly, through the commission, guarantees the right of a leaseholder to occupy a lease subject to riparian rights, that subject to riparian rights only applies to the pier that's necessary to get to navigable water. And it's not the appurtenances that go with it that might otherwise be authorized by statute for an individual riparian owner if they don't involve a lease.
Mr. Zedra.
I have a question for counsel. Is your opinion that if we approve this motion with the lift, that's in violation of the law?
Welcome to the hot seat.
Yeah. So, as Tony, I think, rightfully pointed out, this does just say up here. So, when I read condition or requirement, I don't know that it's referring to a boat lift, which makes me wonder if we even have the authority to say whether they can have a boat lift or not have a boat lift. We can permit it without a boat lift, but if they want to add one, I'm not entirely sure that we can say in this permit that they can't have one. We are supposed to permit a pier. If there is a condition to say they can't have a boat lift that will minimize impact on oyster grounds, I think we can justify that. I'm also worried that I'm possibly contradicting things that have been told by previous counsel. And I definitely don't want to do that.
So.
Yeah. I don't think I answered your question.
Mr. Ballard.
I feel for the applicant in this. I feel like they have gone round and around trying to appease this, and then now they're dealing with just really a lot of nuanced bureaucracy. I think they understand that there could be some complicating legal language here that it may come back to them if they build a boat lift. But I move to approve the drawings with the addition of the two originally proposed boat lifts that they wanted.
Now, I think that's restating your motion that was already seconded by Mr. Zedron.
Right.
So I think we have the path forward unless somebody has a substitute motion. We need further discussion on the motion and the second. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
Abstention.
Abstention by Mr. France. And the chair votes no out of an abundance of caution for the Code of Virginia and the legal principles that we've debated here. So the motion passes. The project is approved with the boat lift. And the vote was 7-1 with one abstention. Project approved.